Everyone, it's lovely to see you all, each individual one of you well spaced out, and lovely to welcome you back into our church building. Today is the 8th of November, and of course that is the nearest Sunday to Remembrance, but because of the virus there are many restrictions on what can and can't be done. But I hope that you'll find that this service is a mix, respecting remembrance in the best way we can, in combination with all the wonderful posters and stones outside in the garden, which are lovely. Thank you to everyone who contributed to that. And there'll be part in the service, a recording of what happened a few weeks ago. There are a number of intimations. And the poppy display will be there all week. And if anybody has forgotten to bring theirs today and wants to come and add one, do please do that at any time during the week and spread the word as well. Regular giving, as you'll understand, handling cash is becoming more and more difficult, more and more risky, really, for everybody. So if anybody would like to consider setting up a standing order so that cash doesn't need to change hands, please speak to Catherine McGurk, Margaret Nielsen, or Margaret Hunter about that. Advance notice for you to get your diaries out. Sunday the 6th of December, again, we're trying to adapt what we normally do to what is possible at the moment. And on that day, we'll be having our gift day. And there'll be two parts to that. The first is that we'll be collecting either gifts or money donations for the Salvation Army. As you know, we always usually give them wrapped gifts, but they have said that if possible, don't wrap the gifts. If you really must, that's fine, but they will have to open them and sanitize them before they can distribute them. So to not wrap them, it probably makes sense. And that if it's easier to give a gift of money, be it a cheque or cash, in an envelope, that is actually very, very welcome, because they have a lot of families in need and not all of them are of the age that a gift is appropriate. So what we're going to do is have someone down in the small hall after the service, because that's the Sunday that we're here in church. So at the end of the service, if you go down to the small hall, go in the main door to the small hall, and there'll be somewhere there for you to give your gift, and there's also going to be St. Andrew's Hospice are going to be there that day. So you'll be able to do both or either of those two things, and then come out the fire exit and back up this passageway. So we've got a one-way system through the hall. It's still a little bit of work in progress at the moment, but we're rapidly getting there. So, yeah, same Sunday the 6th of December, there'll be somebody from St. Andrew's Hospice happy to receive your donations, and there'll be envelopes out on the fence nearer the time, just as we did for the shoebox appeal. And then the person who comes from St. Andrew's will actually give you your card on that day. Next Sunday, we'll be back on Zoom online. You don't have to have the internet to join us on Zoom. It is possible to phone in and listen to the service. Speak to Anne. She does that regularly. She can tell you whether it works or not for her. And Mary Gemmell and Leslie, thank you, mental fog, and Leslie Smith all regularly phone in. So speak to any of them if you're not sure about that, and speak to either me or Margaret Hunter if you want help with setting that up. I think, is that all the intimations? Yeah. So we're continuing our look through Mark's Gospel, and this Sunday we look at Mark chapter 3 in the first 8 verses, where we see people who want to kill Jesus. I love this picture because we've got Jesus there on the left and the man with the shriveled hand. But in the background, look at the expressions of these people. They're the Pharisees and the regulars in the synagogue. And they're just listening to Jesus' every word and watching his every action, trying to catch him out. I'm not sure if they're actually there to worship God, but I shouldn't judge. But we are here to worship God. God is love. And we can only love one another because he first loved us. And his love is a perfect love, which drives out all fear. So let us go forward in love. Our opening psalm, and I'll ask Jim to come to the microphone to read the alternate verses, is the first four verses from Psalm 78. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth.
I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from old.
Things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us.
We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jim. So our first hymn is a beautiful tune. Lord of life, we come to you. Now, we're not allowed to sing, but I'm going to attempt, and Audrey's agreed to try and stick with me, to speak the words as Audrey plays the tune. Lord of life, we come to you. Lord of all, our Saviour be. Come to bless and to heal with the light of your love. Through the days of doubt and toil, in our joy and in our pain, guide our steps in your way. Make us one in your love. Now, remembrance. Because of all the restrictions, not allowed to organize meetings, not allowed to have more than six people from two households, Councillor Julia Marr contacted me quite a long time ago, and we had a great discussion about how we could do remembrance in Forth. So you're now going to watch a film of what we did. The beginning part of the film is a recording of the bugler, and we then observe the 2 minute silence. So I would suggest that we all stay completely silent, coughs allowing, for those 2 minutes. And then you'll hear, after the bugler plays again, you'll hear my voice. And it's not awfully clear because I was obviously over 2 meters from the person filming it, who was Julia Marr's husband, so that we weren't more than two households. And there's background traffic noise. But I hope it will bring an essence of remembrance to us today. Thank you. reconciliation. Let us pray. Each one of us, as we work in faith, that we have the ability and patience of fighting and terror, from war, as refuge. And today we also remember affected by COVID-19. We remember all those whose lives have the peace of your presence. May that same peace calm our fears, bring justice to all peoples, and establish harmony through Jesus Christ our Lord. It shall not be old as we others condemn. At the going down, we will. It was laid by Councillor Julia Martin. And then I said the Kohima at Patapide. Tell us to be gay. But we'll keep that to the end. With the traffic noise. Julia's husband also took some beautiful photographs of the memorial. There's something incredibly humbling about looking at these names, mostly young men who never came home. I'm now going to read a prayer written by our moderator, a prayer for the season of remembrance. And we will end this with the Lord's Prayer. Merciful God, there is much that we do well to forget, and yet with elephant-like qualities, we have mastered the art of remembering those moments when we felt ourselves to have been mistreated, overlooked, slighted, wronged, disrespected. These causes of personal grievance burn within us, often lingering for years, and yet these are the very things you would have us dismiss, lest they become malignant, blackening our hearts. Forgive us, merciful God, when we refuse to let go, when we insist on carrying the past around with us as a trophy cabinet of hurts. Might we instead devote ourselves to remembering that which builds us up and which is helpful to us in navigating the choppy waters of the present day. And to that end, might we begin with the encouragement of the psalmist to let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. Loving God, there is no end to the good things that you have done for us. Especially in this season of remembrance, we remind ourselves that you have been our help in ages past, our shelter from the stormy blast. By the courage and sacrifice of so many, you carried us through many a day of darkness, through many a scene of strife. This we will remember. And in our remembering, we will find strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Despite the darkness and brokenness of our world, and yes, in the face of the pandemic through which we are battling, for as we remember, we see the truth of your promise that in Christ you will never leave us nor forsake us. You are faithful, O God. This we remember because we must not forget. And now please join with me quietly and with your masks on as we say together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. Our next hymn, hopefully, if technology works, we will be able to hear the Edinburgh University singers with Ian McCrory, the conductor, and John Kitchen on the organ. And the words will be on the screen. This is if it all works. The backup plan is Audrey's going to step in and play. But can I remind you all, please don't sing. Singing apparently spreads the virus more effectively than coughing. So we must not sing except when we're alone at home. The hymn is number 115. Love is the touch of intangible joy. Love is the force that no fear can destroy. Thanks to Margaret Hunter, who worked what I consider a miracle in managing to get that to work, combined with Laura Jane manning the sound system. I'll now invite Jim to come forward once again and to read our reading from Mark's Gospel, which is entitled Jesus Heals on the Sabbath.
The reading this morning is from Mark chapter 3. Reading from verse 1 to verse 8. Jesus heals on the Sabbath. Another time Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he could heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath to do evil or to save life, or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Amen. May God bless you as the reading of his word.
Thanks, Jim. People who want to kill Jesus. I'm sure we struggle to imagine anyone wanting to kill Jesus. And yet at the same time, we know that he was killed. But we also know that killing Jesus did not destroy him. If Jesus hadn't died, there would have been no resurrection. So it was in fact part of the growth and spread of his good news, of his kingdom. Because with God, all things are possible. Today's reading, as you heard, covers the fifth and last of this series of conflicts between Jesus and the Pharisees, although in this passage we just hear they, so it may have been more than just the Pharisees. Struck me that Jesus had tremendous courage, not only to keep going to the Sabbath, to the synagogue every Sabbath, when he knew that his every move was being watched and judged. And yet not only was he prepared to turn up every week, but he was also willing to step up and heal that man with the withered hand on the Sabbath in full view of everyone. When I tried to put myself in that situation, I think I would have wanted to keep my head down. I would have snuck in at the very last minute for the worship, taken part in the worship, and then snuck out again as quick as I could. And I would probably have pretended not to notice the man with the shriveled hand. But you'll be pleased to know, just in case you didn't already, that Jesus is a far, far better person than I am. He doesn't even try to help the man in private. No, he asks them to come and stand in the middle where everyone can see him with his withered or paralyzed hand. Now, since even sheep and cattle had to be perfect, without blemish, in order to be allowed into the temple, it must have been so embarrassing and scary for this man to come forwards and let everyone see his disability. But goodness me, he soon discovered how worthwhile it was to step out of his comfort zone, to endure a few moments of discomfort, for they would be exchanged with lifelong healing. But before Jesus healed him, and with that poor man standing there in full view of the midst of the crowd, Jesus turns to those grumpy faces in the background, those tutters. Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. It was one of those catch-22 questions, especially since the Pharisees were not only trying to catch Jesus out and find something to accuse him of, they were very soon heading out to start plotting to kill him. If they had any conscience, I think it must have felt as if Jesus, in asking them which is lawful on the Sabbath, was comparing the love within his own heart, which led to his graceful action of healing, with the bitterness and rigid judgmentalism in their own hearts, their hard hearts, which would lead them to sanction murder. No wonder they didn't answer. They stayed silent. And their silence caused Jesus great distress. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. Their stubborn hearts, or hard-heartedness, were rooted in the rigid, unbending interpretation of the law. While in Jesus' eyes, and all of ours, I pray, people's needs are more important than the law. Healing, mercy, and love are never against the law. Everything Jesus does and says is motivated by love, because he is God, and God is love. Sadly, the Pharisees regarded the law so highly, apparently ignoring the first commandment, to love the Lord your God more than anything. They were prepared, both historically certainly, to die themselves rather than break the law. And they were also prepared to kill to defend the system. They saw religion as ritual, strict obedience to rules, while Jesus sees religion as service, always seeking to help others, especially those in need. So what about us? The Pharisees didn't see what they were like. In their eyes, they were observing the law as their fathers and grandfathers had done. They were the good ones, and Jesus was the baddie. So we need to examine ourselves and think, are we rigidly defending something in our church or in our faith, which in reality, in Jesus' eyes, is a misunderstanding? And are we ready, like that man with the withered hand, to expose our weaknesses, those withered parts of our lives, to Jesus and to each other? It's an uncomfortable thing to do. We need to be secure in the unconditional love and trustworthiness of both Jesus and any member of our church family that we confide in before we can take that risk. But when we do, the rewards, the possibility of lifelong healing are beyond measure. I watched a TV program recently about people with difficult conditions that doctors had been unable to diagnose. This was a relatively young man with severe and debilitating physical symptoms which no one could explain. And eventually, after every other avenue of diagnosis had been explored, it became clear that memories of his time in the army, some 20 years previously, were the cause. He'd never been able to speak about what had happened to him. He had always been too scared to look at those very painful and difficult memories. He's now seeking help from professionals, and I am praying that they are able to help him recover fully. For us, let's always remember God is love. So it's safe and good to open our hearts, to let go of any hard-hearted rigidity, any withered bits, and receive God's healing love. Amen. We move now to our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession. Loving, living Lord, we thank you for this time of remembering. We thank you for the courage and love shown by so many in the armed forces over the years. for the courage and love shown by so many in the ongoing battle against COVID-19. And we thank you for the courage and love you showed in Jesus in facing criticism and even death while continuing to demonstrate unconditional love and mercy to all. Today, Lord, we have taken time in silence to remember those who lost their lives or whose lives have been scarred mentally, physically, and spiritually in times past and recent. And we now name in our hearts that person or situation which is weighing most heavily on our hearts today. Lord, we thank you that your listening is far better than our words, that you know our prayers before we do, and that you are always leaning towards us, longing to hear from us, and that you do answer our prayers in your way and in your time, in whatever way is best for everyone, even when it's not what we want. Loving, living God, help us to keep trusting you, loving you, and passing on your mercy and love to others. Amen. God often invites us to be the answer to our own prayers. And when he asks, as we're going to hear in our final hymn, "Whom shall I send?" are we ready to reply, "Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord?" Again, we'll sit and listen and allow the words to soak in as we watch a YouTube video of hymn 251, "I, the Lord of Sea and Sky."
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will go. I, the Lord of wind and plain, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them,
Thank you all for coming and joining in our worship together. As we go out into the week, let's make sure our hearts are open to God's love and open to get rid of any bitterness or any harshness. Open to hold all the people that God asks us to hold within our hearts. And we're not asked to do it alone, because God sends his blessing, the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us all today and forevermore. Amen. We'll be directing you to leave the church one at a time. Those who need to go back out the main door, just stay put, and we'll get you out afterwards.